B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if you smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yo,
what's up?
How's everybody doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah,
how you doing?
Really good.
Okay. All right, let's do a show. What do you say?
It's good. Fred hang up on anybody today?
No.
I listened to Will Brinson interview. I was hoping he'd hang up on him, like get a string going. String a couple together.
My day is 5% better for having just talked to Fred.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would say. Maybe 7% better.
What did you two talk about?
We were just having a conversation. It was just good to catch up.
All right.
It was good. In a better mood now than I was 5 minutes ago.
That's good. Because we did our conference.
Trending in the right direction.
We're in a very good mood.
I've got the ass today.
Yeah,
you're
in a bad mood.
I am in a bad mood, admittedly.
We got a lot of good stuff today, too. A lot of good stuff today.
Not according to Beetle.
Well, not according to Beetle, but it's how we make it good.
How do you feel about Jaylen Brown being injured and done for the year?
Dead in water?
Well, how did you feel yesterday before you knew Jaylen Brown was injured and done for the year? Dead in the water?
Well,
no.
I thought they were bordering on a dead ass team, but now it doesn't even matter because they don't have the talent to do anything about it.
They weren't going anywhere with him. They're not going anywhere with him.
I wasn't sure, but now what would you expect them to do without
Jaylen
Brown?
Sealed their fate.
Well, you don't think they're going to rally?
I didn't think they were going to rally with him. And I think they've sucked with him for big portions of their season. And I think they were ill-equipped to match up with a number of the teams in this.
Yeah,
in this,
I agree with that.
By the way, seeding-wise, they could have a very difficult road in front of them anyway.
I agree with all
and
that.
It's over. Season's over.
My favorite player's
and
down.
And you know what? Good. This team needs to go away.
It's not good he's hurt. I mean, we don't.
It's not good somebody got hurt. It's good that it's over. It's good that I don't have to think about it anymore.
It's time to fix it.
Okay?
That's what it is.
Because this season, I don't care if you're the most green of green teamers. You're miserable.
You can't defend
that. Don't tell me you feel good right now. Don't tell me you like this team.
Don't you dare call the show today and say, run it back.
I won't believe you. I will call you a liar. Because you're not enjoying this. Nobody's enjoying this. Nobody has liked this season at any point. No one likes this team. And when I say this team, I don't mean every individual on the team. I'm saying this collective group of players that was assembled for this year's roster. Nobody is liking this. Nobody. So
it's a bad year.
The fact that it's done with and you can have zero expectations for the team and save yourself any sort of aggravation is really sort of a positive for everybody involved. And if you don't think that the players on this roster will now take this as their excuse to check on out and totally be done with the year, you're kidding yourself. Because you've seen what a dead-ass team this is all year long. Now they've got an excuse to check out and be done. But you can already feel that way, and then you don't have to get mad about it. You can just expect it. Just expect that they're going to check out and quit. And it's over.
I think the results won't be there from a win standpoint. But you have a guy like Tatum that's going to win the box score game.
Good for him.
You know, and it's going to be the same thing. Like, do you? And that's the thing going into next year. Because I hear a lot of this. It's official now. They haven't had all seven of their top guys active for one game the entire year.
In fact,
and we're going to hear a lot of this from them. And the spin that we didn't have health. So do you want them to run it back with what they've had?
We'll get to that. I just think in terms of the rest of the year, you have a reason to actively root against them now.
As
a fan, because the worse this looks down the stretch and into the ending, the better the chances are that there will be real changes to the team and the makeup of the team. If it's a complete disaster in the games they have left, and again, that's not a lot of time, right? Not a lot of time left. But if it's a complete disaster, you've got a better case to, you know, pressure the Celtics as a fan base, or the Celtics ownership pressuring the guys that work for them to, you've got to make this better. This cannot stand.
The worst case scenario for them would be to rally somewhat, to actually get into that first round, make a little bit of noise, maybe advance to the second, because that would lead to ultimately keeping this thing together. Like, if you want this to change, you got to root for, you have to, and I hate rooting against teams because, like, you don't want to instill losing. You don't want to say, just go out and lose, just tank.
It's about the bigger picture. It's about rooting for the team in the big picture, though. It's about wanting the team to be better next year.
Because if this team responds.
That isn't rooting against them in a, like, true, heartfelt sense. It's rooting against them in that, if you lose now, there's a chance we could be better on the other side of
this. It's like the Patriots.
It's like the tanking years.
Was it good the Patriots beat the Jets that last game? That didn't really mean anything, right?
I didn't need that win.
You didn't need that win. You could have had a better draft positioning, and you probably could have moved on from the quarterback. The quarterback threw three touchdowns in that game. Now,
I didn't need that.
That's a good point. How did he exactly hurt his wrist? You know, they just, the injuries that this team gets over the years, even with like Gordon Hayward, like these odd thumb injuries, little things here and there, you know, contusions, knees, Robert Williams. It's just a banged up team. They're never healthy, ever. Even when Kyrie was here, the knee went. You know, it's, you know, Isaiah Thomas, he's damaged good. Like, this team just, they have bad luck with injuries. They really do. They really do. I'm with you. I mean, you have to, if you want changes across the board, and I don't know how they get rid of the coach. I really don't. I think they're in bed with him. They like him. It would have to be from a personnel player standpoint that you would need changes across the board. So I don't think Brad's going anywhere.
You've got the options.
Like, get rid of him. Like, who are you bringing in?
You've got options of trading away one of the significant pieces on the team, Brown or Tatum. Mm-hmm. You've got the option of removing the coach. You've got the option of doing absolutely nothing and running it back. And if you were to ask the Celtics right now what they want to do and what they plan on doing, my guess is that as of today, their plan is to bring everybody back.
I agree.
And blame COVID and blame injury.
Patriots did it.
And run it back with everybody still on the team and say, we're going to be healthier this year. And that will be the difference. And everybody will be healthy. Tatum is back to full health. Then Brown had his wrist surgery.
Robert Williams looks great.
Is ready for an increased role and more minutes, and he's feeling the best he's ever felt.
He's a veteran now.
That's my guess. But what if it's a complete disaster the rest of the way? How could they sit there and do nothing?
Then you need drastic change.
How could
your team makeup?
You need change now.
Yeah.
Running it back is not going to solve this team's problems.
They like these guys, though. Like, you hear it from Danny, you hear it from like Brad. They like this team, and they got the support of Wick. Unless Wick steps in and says, change it. Because Danny isn't going anywhere.
Brad Stevens to a 5-year contract extension a year ago.
Wick's not going to want to eat that.
There's significant money on that contract, and there has been some rumors. There has been some reporting, and there's a lot of chatter on Brad Stevens this week.
Sure is. That's what happens when you lose.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the Brad Stevens chatter now that the Celtics season is unofficially over, soon to be officially over. And here's for rooting for the train wreck. 617-779-0985. The future of Brad Stevens. Let's get into it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Breer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So you've known Brad Stevens for a long time, huh?
A long, long time. Since he was an assistant at Butler. So I've seen him take Butler to two national title games in person. And again, you're not going to find anybody who's a bigger fan of Brad Stevens, the human being and the coach in a lot of ways than me. I've defended him basically until yesterday. And now I feel like the time has probably come for both parties, you know, that they got to look at parting ways, just because I think sometimes, again, it's run its course, and it's easier to make a move on a coach than it is on a player. Now, I understand there's a lot of money at stake here for Wick, and if they make a move, they're going to have to give Brad Stevens a good amount of change to go away. I just feel like you got to do something. You can't go in with the same team again next year and have similar results.
That was on TNR today. Jeff Goodman, longtime college basketball analyst, and now covering everything. He knows Brad Stevens. He's known him for a long time.
Hey, I heard that.
And he's been writing and talking about the future of Brad Stevens. He was on NBC Sports Boston last night. He was on TNR this morning.
Looking around. Yep.
This is after he wrote a story that said Brad Stevens, you know, maybe isn't the right fit for the Celtics and the Celtics should move on and all this stuff. You know what I think is far more likely than the Celtics firing Brad Stevens?
What?
Brad Stevens quitting. Brad Stevens walking away, which would solve a lot of problems for, I guess, the team if they were thinking about moving on from an ownership level but didn't want to pay out the money over the next 5 years. And for Brad Stevens, who would look good doing it by way of, you don't have to fire me. I'm resigning.
Oof, I think it's money.
I think it's one of those situations where you could go to the ownership and say, yeah, it's time for a separation. It's probably best for everybody involved.
Wish Jimmy Garoppolo thought that way.
That he would go in and say, you know what? I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to take a year off. I'm just mentally.
Spend time with the family.
I'm going to go do the thing that Jeff Goodman laid out, the possibility of taking a year off, and how Brad Stevens is a different cat. And by the way, Brad Stevens had those sort of odd comments going back a few weeks.
Indiana.
About his future and how he may do something other than basketball. Remember that? And I also look at Jeff Goodman and say, is that a Celtics angle on that report or opinion? Or is it a Brad Stevens angle? Is there groundwork being laid for Brad Stevens to not be the coach of the Celtics next year? Sort of get that thought process started. Where he walks away. He quits.
I think anything's a possibility.
The year was a grind. He's not happy. He doesn't like coaching this team. He doesn't like being here. He'll never admit it publicly. Never. They never do. So if Brad Stevens didn't like it here and didn't like being Celtics head coach, he would come on and do the interview here, or he would stand at the podium and you know what he would say? Oh, of course I like coming to work here. It's all good. Of course, who wouldn't want to be the head coach of the Boston Celtics? Right up until he then walks out the door.
I mean, just don't see Brad Stevens at his age, at his point in his career, walking away, taking the year off, all that stuff, and just not doing anything because he feels that he would have to do that because he felt like he lost the room, that he can't coach these guys, that he's giving up. That's what he would do. He would give up. I can't do it.
See, here,
can't do it. I'm giving up. I don't think that's in him.
I know. He seems like one of those. I signed a contract. I will live up to my contract.
Well,
like,
during the pandemic, he will, as he said, it would be
during the pandemic.
It would be unfair.
There are some odd comments in the way he answered
Hardy, there are some weird comments.
And
in
he had to clarify it. You know what I mean? He had to clarify some of the comments. After the loss the other day, he said, unacceptable start to the game. Yeah, we came back in that, but another unacceptable start. He just, you know, one of our problems is we're not big. Like, that's a shot at Danny saying, like, what do you want me to do? I don't have a big. And remember when Tice got traded? Like, he didn't realize it until, you know, came to the arena. Like, oh, shoot, Tice got traded. I wasn't in on that. Like, he was caught off guard. Like, you take a player away. Like, maybe that frustrates him. I don't know. Maybe the two spoiled superstars.
Maybe he's just tired of coming to work every day and not having his players listen to him.
Right.
Maybe that's what he's tired
of. Can't get
of.
Healthy. Can't do this. Same old thing again. Danny's going to pick the players Danny wants, and I got to go cook dinner with him. You know? Maybe there's some of that in the back. You know? They like to say it's collaborative, like organizing the team and getting it together and saying this is what we are, but...
See, okay, let me put it to you this way. What makes the Celtics frustrating to me is I think they have the talent, and despite what they look like at times, I think they're close. I think they're close to being a team that can contend. That between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum alone, you have enough there to put in good efforts and make... You know, to be a real threat in the Eastern Conference. Would you agree with that?
I don't think they're close.
I don't think they're close now.
I think outside of those two players.
You look at the way these other teams in the East have been built and sort of resurrected over the last 2 years. You look at Miami.
But you have two stars on the team.
Do you? I don't mean that sarcastically, but.
I'm with Zoe. I don't know that you do.
I don't know if you do anymore. I think we may overvalue these two. I know Tatum's good, obviously.
I'm not calling them both top five or even top 10 players.
It's weird, but that's sort of what you need.
It's weird that I like Jaylen Brown more than I like Jason Tatum.
You don't need two top five players on the same team to contend.
You need one.
Jason Tatum could very easily be a top 10 guy.
Yeah, but he's not now. He could be. I think he's the guy you keep, and he's the guy you absolutely don't move.
And you don't think Jaylen Brown has any chance at being...
Asked me if they're close. I don't think they're close. Could they be close in 4 years? Yep. Oh, no doubt about it. Right now, they're not.
Well, I think they're close enough to where they're not a terrible team. You know, they're not the Pistons. They're not completely without...
They're unlikable.
Any kind of redeeming quality. Likability doesn't factor in.
It does the fans.
Can they win? And I'm not going to get into the injuries and big and small and all that stuff, but yeah, they have not been able to put together a healthy roster the way they wanted to for even a game, much less any string of games. My only point is this. If I'm Brad Stevens, I think I'm close enough to where I wouldn't walk away. I'm not quitting. Take a year off. Sorry, I couldn't do it.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous, but I do agree that I don't think it's likely. I don't think it's the most likely thing to happen. Do you think it's any mistake that Jeff Goodman mentioned the Pacers as a possibility for Brad Stevens?
Totally different from walking away. If he gets a job, you know, back home somewhere, or even a college job,
it's hard to think he's going to.
But it would have to be negotiated with the Celtics,
right?
To allow it to happen.
That's different. Yeah, okay.
They could trade him to the Pacers.
I mean, that's different because I really don't think, you know, a guy like that, as young as he is going to give up that type of money too to say I'm going to walk away, I'm going to resign. That's hard to leave out on the table. His wife's his agent; she's smarter than that too. It's just, and I see people tweet that picture of just like 2 years ago. Yeah, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Horford, and Brown. Like, there's your starting five. Look at that. Like, that looked like a team that could go and compete. And then 2 years later, here we are again. Now we have the two stars, but the mix of everybody else that are good players. They're not great. I don't look at them and say, wow, look at the upside. Doc Rivers gets hired down in Philadelphia. Look at that Philly team. The way they respond. Look at Milwaukee. Look at the Heat. They get a guy like Jimmy Butler to put the dagger in you. That uber team leader. I don't think they have that. Tatum, nice player. He's always going to be a nice player. Like, you had superstars 2 years ago. It didn't work out. One guy got hurt, and the other guy was a malcontent. Now, and here we are. It's like Danny tried that. It didn't work. What are you going to try that again? No, they're going to roll back. They're going to run it back with this crew. They are. I got to bank on health again. One more year. One more. Heard that before. Yeah. Get ready for it.
I don't think the Celtics want to move on from their head coach.
I don't think either.
They have any desire to fire their head coach.
I don't either. That's why I think they run it back.
I think people that are putting that out there, I think you're dreaming. But I would not rule out what's more likely than the Celtics wanting to fire Brad Stevens is Brad Stevens wanting to go elsewhere. Whether that is going home for a year, he's getting millions of dollars in the bank, or it's going elsewhere.
It happens to a lot of coaches.
And I would
stagnant here. You know, he could feel stagnant. Go ahead, Artie.
I'd agree that the likelihood of him going elsewhere is higher than him just walking away and saying, I'm taking a year off. That to me just no. He has to have another job.
He'd have to get fired. No, he'd have to get fired to do that.
That he would take a year off.
He'd have to get fired to do that, I think. If he gets fired, like, you still gotta pay me. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go enjoy time with my family. I'm going to recharge my battery, and I'm going to be right back into basketball in a year.
I mean, that's quitting. I can't do it. I give up. I quit. With no other job to go to.
He's a
young guy.
But no other job to go to wouldn't apply. He'd have job offers immediately, and he would be turning down other job offers. If he were to quit the Celtics, he'd get calls tomorrow for teams that want to hire him. So it wouldn't be about not getting, you know, another offer to go somewhere else. He'd be turning down those offers to actually go through with taking a year off or multiple years off or going and doing something entirely different, as he suggested himself in an interview a few weeks back. We have that? Hit it.
You know, I don't know how long I'm going to coach. I don't know how long I'm going to, you know, coach in the NBA. I don't know how long they'll want me to coach in the NBA. Don't know what I'll do after that. Maybe I'll figure out something new, but right now I am, you know, I'm thrilled and to be the Celtics head coach, and it is a great challenge and a great responsibility.
See, giggles there, Nick. It is a grind.
Maybe I'll go do something new.
I think he's just saying that as a general thought, but I think him chuckling there is a challenge.
I think he's
like, job is harder than you people think.
I think he's being humble. I think he's showing some humility. I don't know how long you're going to want me. I don't know how long to do this. He's being very open-minded about this. Who knows? You know,
I think he tries to play ball to me.
I don't even know if we're all going
to
be alive on Sunday. So I don't know if I'm going to keep coaching. I don't know if I'm going to do something else, but right now I love being the coach of the Celtics, and it's a challenge and I love it.
There's a guy who knows him much better than most people do, and Jeff Goodman, and Goodman says he's a different kind of cat.
Well, we know that.
How do you know that?
Just the way he deals with everything. Like, Brad's a thinker.
Yeah, publicly. I think he's talking about privately.
I know that, but like, most coaches don't do that. Get into, like, you know, other things other than basketball. Like, just the way he handled,
name half a dozen
way
of those
he handled
coaches
the bubble.
Do that
I don't
league.
Know. I just think I'd like to play for the guy. I think he's like a real guy. I think the fact that people think he can't connect with the team is wrong.
Yeah, he looks like he's connected with them really well this year. They've really responded to
him. At some point,
him.
It's on them to show up and freaking play,
It's
too.
Always on them to show up and play.
We're going to run through a wall?
But if you're saying he does a great job connecting with them, well, then that doesn't speak highly of him.
You don't hear the ton of the rumblings that they get issues internally. I thought there were more last year than there were this year. Closed door meetings, shouting, yelling.
By the way, I wouldn't fire him either. The Celtics don't want to fire him. I wouldn't fire him.
Better have a plan.
It's a players' league.
I hear that too. Like, we got to get a former player.
Those who are desperate for the former player or desperate to fire Brad Stevens, it's only because you can't bring yourself to admit that the Celtics, from a roster standpoint,
are junk.
Not as good as you thought they were.
Not good.
And now you're seeing it.
Did we really think they were that good at the start of the year?
I didn't.
Like Tice. Yeah,
I didn't. I was asking for wholesale changes last offseason, you may remember.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
This guy nailed it.
All right, we got calls.
All right, we can get to some of those coming up next. Here's Hardy with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to talk sports in Boston, we talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right.
But still, no,
it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So how do you react when you hear, you know, calls for their jobs? I'll just say, sitting in this seat, Wick, I haven't heard it like this in, you know, at any time since Danny got here 18 years ago, and at any point in time since Brad got here 8 years ago, or, you know, whatever it was. The number of calls and the, you know, people saying it's time to get a new coach, it's time to now look at Danny Ainge. We've gotten more of that this year than we've ever gotten it combined leading up to this. How do you react to that? When you hear that, what do you say?
Yeah, I react by saying, well, if you know, I'm the one that has to make the decision. I'm the one that has to live with the change and say, oh, my God, I let somebody go. And then he's immediately either one of those guys would be immediately the top candidate in the league for the job. It doesn't matter who else is out there. So there are guys, and we're sticking with them. And it was not even a question in my mind.
I believe that. That was Wick a number of weeks ago on Felger and Maz. Maybe feels different with the team crashing and burning the way it has this year. And will down the stretch. Remains to be seen. I just can't imagine he wants to fire either Danny or Brad Stevens. Especially Brad Stevens out of the two.
Yep.
Brad Stevens is young. Brad Stevens is in demand, whether you like that or not. And
Danny's been in, what, 18 years?
Danny's the longest tenured GM in the NBA.
I can see Danny, like, eventually retiring, but I think Wick knows if I let Brad go, he is a coveted item, and he would be snagged up in a second, and I think Wick would fear him going to have success anywhere else. That's the part of, ooh, it's a tough decision I have to make, and I am not ready to make that decision.
Let's go to your calls.
He ain't going anywhere.
617-779-0985. John in Denham. Hi, John.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Good, how we doing?
Good, what's up, Zoe?
What's up?
What's up? So I'm pretty fired up today because something's got to change. Well, I mean, you were saying last week that it's got to either be Tatum or Brown. And at this point, it's getting to the point where it's not Brad's fault. It's these guys. These guys got to take accountability. They got to come to the floor, and they don't do it. So my hot take is I think the Celtics should make a move for Bradley Beal, team him up with Tatum, and see where we go from there. What do you guys think?
I think it's easier said than done.
Of course it is. What else? Just two? Need another superstar too.
You'd be better. Yeah, I think you would.
Yeah.
If you could, there's going to be a lot of changes to that roster to make that.
Who's your big?
Make you a better team, but I like it.
I think it's the big. I think it's
the big keeps coming up. Even Brad talks about it.
But where do you get that from? Life in the NBA.
Can you keep Robert Williams healthy?
No. No, that's a pipe dream, too. No, Robert Williams is going to develop.
Put him in bubble wrap.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the answer is no. He's never going to be able to play full minutes. He's never going to be fully healthy. No. He's never going to live up to whatever your elevated expectations are for that player.
Gee,
he is what he is. I mean, there's just a lot of hoping and wishing with Celtics fandom right now. It sort of gets old after a while. Oh, you got to give them 5-6 years. You got to let them develop. You know, you got to give them the time before they can be winners, the time before they can be leaders. Brandon in Boston, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, you know what? This is a blessing in disguise that Jaylen Brown is gone. You know why? Because now we have to look at the front office. Now, we know that Brown is gone, right? What is Danny going to do now? What is he going to do to replace Brown? Because if you look at the free agent pool, you can easily replace him. Now, he's not easily replaced. Let me not say that. But you got Lance Stephenson out there and Michael Beasley. And if I could be really quick on this, I'll tell you why. Lance Stephenson, 26 points per game, 7.4 rebounds, 3.8 assists. From the field goal, 52%. I'll take that. Michael Beasley, 22 points per game, 9.8 rebounds per game, 4.4 assists. From the field goal, 50%. Now look at this. 102-93, Celtics lose.
No.
I like that he comes up with different names every call.
Like there's a replacement out there. I want to tell you who Lance Stephenson last played for. He was last playing in the Chinese Basketball Association for the Lioning Flying Leopards.
Leopards can't fly.
No, there's no easy fix when you lose one of your two best players. Oh, what are you going to do to replace him? Nothing. They're going to play out the string. The season's going to end. Then they're going to try and figure out if they want to blow it up or not. That's how it's going to play out. Chris and Taunton. Hey, Chris.
Oh, my God. He's a fucker.
Put that on. No, I hung up on him. You can't let that go. David and Halzak. David.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
Hey, so I just wanted to get your take on this. I'm racking my brain trying to figure out, like, percentage-wise, who is most to blame for like, this middling Celtics organization. I mean, they've won one championship since 1986, right? But more recently, the only constants that we really have are Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. But I'm trying to figure out what percent, if you guys could put a percentage on it, what percentage would you give blame to as far as the coaching, the players, the organizations, and the fans?
What are you looking for? A pie chart here?
Oh, blame pie.
Blame pie.
We got blame pie scheduled for 10:50.
Why would you blame the fans?
Who do you blame the most?
Danny.
So do I.
Danny.
There's your answer.
Feld with Kyrie. You got Horford here. You got Gordon Hayward here. You signed Kemba Walker to this awful deal. His knee's not good. He can't even play back-to-back. If they need him at the end of the year, they're going to shut him down.
I think it's the players. I see suspect effort on enough nights to where they're going to not getting all the blame, but out of all the pieces, that's the most. You can't blame him for Kyrie. You didn't know he's going to be a lunatic. You managed to move on from Isaiah Thomas, who couldn't play anymore, and you got Kyrie Irving in here instead.
Okay, but he knew that he was bringing in a volatile personality when he acquired Kyrie, so he accepted the risk.
You got to know the temperature of your team.
He accepted the risk. That's okay. I mean, it was the right move to make the team better, but you've got to know that could blow up in your face.
Okay, but Zoe just put it in a check mark of like bad move by Danny. It's like getting Kyrie in here. I didn't know he was that
Kyrie experiment.
I had no idea.
But it failed because if you're going to do it, you've got to make sure the team is good enough to win right away. And then you could sit there and, I guess, blame Gordon Hayward for getting injured. Right? What does that team look like if Gordon Hayward doesn't get hurt?
Right.
That will always be a question. And, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I mean,
like that team with roster, Isaiah.
They're not good enough.
And Glenn Davis, Big Baby, they played harder than this team does. And that shouldn't be, because this team should be more talented than them.
That's why it's on the players. They're better than what they play.
My real question will always be, is Danny Ainge capable of building a championship team on his own? Yeah, they have a title. They also fleeced Minnesota for Kevin Garnett. And it was by him calling one of his former teammates to do it. Without that assist from a former teammate, without Kevin Garnett, are the Celtics capable of building a championship team with Danny Ainge running the show? Because that's his championship move, acquiring Kevin Garnett. That was it. That was the move. It took a lot of help. It took a gift, is what it took. So, longest tenure GM in the league, 18 years in, they have a title, and they have it because they were able to get Kevin Garnett by way of a big time assist, a blame pie. Get that off the screen, Fowler. we'll continue with your miserable Celtics calls before we move on to the Bruins.
Fowler asked a question in Slack too that's going to make you angry. I don't know if you saw it.
What is it?
You He had a question about the song segment that we have coming up.
Oh, I know. Shut up. When is that?
Whatever we want to do.
What time is that? All right, don't go anywhere.
He thinks we have the wrong song title.
Oh, my God.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Matt. Right now, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jared's in Hanover today. What's up, Jared?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Zol?
What's up?
Hey, I was wondering if for next year, maybe, getting rid of Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, a first-round pick, for LeBron James to come back to Boston.
You want to do this anymore? You want to do this anymore?
Get LeBron back here. It's been too many years since LeBron graced the parquet at the Garden.
This might be Beatles Day today.
Night in and night out.
What are we doing?
Get LeBron back.
How do we do this?
Get him back.
Celtics.
We're going to finish out this segment with the Celtics calls, and then we're done.
Celtics fans are insane.
Then I'm done.
They're insane.
I don't think talking about the Celtics is good for anybody. I really don't. I don't think it's good for us. I don't think it's good for the show. I don't think it's good for having listeners want to continue to listen because it's a miserable experience right now.
I think you should take Mac Jones and Cam and ship them to Tampa and get Brady back because that's more of a possibility than you ever getting LeBron. LeBron effing James.
To get LeBron back.
LeBron James out of L.A. He must be so miserable out there in L.A.
Getting LeBron back.
How do you even? Seriously. That's your town, bro.
I just live there.
Yeah.
I don't take any ownership of the
people. I don't mean to laugh.
Oh, no. That's someone called in. That poor guy called in and was on hold.
He waited for that.
For that take.
Mark in New Hampshire. Hi, Mark.
But, I mean, if you really think about it, if you're the Lakers, if you give me Jason Tatum in a first round
pick. Hi, guys.
Pick,
how you doing? Mark Green today. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man, you're welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Mm.
Hey, just a couple quick things. I'm a high school coach up here in New Hampshire, and Brad took a couple hours off out of his schedule over the last summer during COVID and reached out to all us high school coaches in New Hampshire. And one thing with Brad, learning from that 2 hours, he's a practice coach, and I'm sure practice has been part of the problem, but I also think his players have tuned him out. There was a play about 3 weeks ago. Tatum had the ball with about 15 seconds to go in the game. Caught the ball at half court and just dribbled it and took a fadeaway three-pointer from about 8 feet away from the being down by one. And so that's not a play that Brad would normally draw up after a timeout. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I appreciate you guys listening, and you guys are the best. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
All right, Mark. Mark, I think you're right. But my question would be, okay, they've tuned him out. Another coach they won't tune out? So if they swap out the coach, what does that reinforce? Oh, it's okay for you to tune the guy out. We'll just get you a new guy.
Imagine.
What is that? You know, it's like rewarding the bad behavior. Yeah.
Imagine
you tuned out your coach. Right. Oh, we got rid of him for you.
Imagine with this crew. If they get a new coach and they really felt like it's our room now. Like we imagine.
Yep. We tuned out the last guy and they got rid of him. And we can tune out the new guy too.
You don't think Kyrie's a
big
baby.
The show.
Right. Get ready for that.
In a league where the players have so little respect for the coaches to begin with because it's a players' league. It's all about your roster in that league.
Right.
The roster is it. The roster decides who wins, who loses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the NBA.
That was a better call, though.
Much better call.
So maybe there's hope.
Made sense. Jeff in Nashville, what do you think of the future of Brad Stevens?
Well, happy Tuesday, a-holes. Hey, hi, Zoe. How are you?
Slapstick.
I know
What's
you
up?
Need that.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I'm sorry that you don't feel appreciated as a dad. And, Mark, I appreciate the saltiness today. Please lean into it. Last week, I had some concerns with show integrity. Hardy was the expert on Mandarin. Hardy, the guy who doesn't know what a pot sticker is.
No, right. Exactly.
Now,
what's the last time he's ever been to Trader Joe's?
An expert on Mandarin?
You ever go to Trader Joe's and buy the frozen pot stickers? I do.
Zoe was going off on Mandarin, and I believe it was Beetle asking, what is Mandarin?
Okay?
No. I didn't ask anything about Mandarin.
I did.
But I raised my hand first and said, I don't know. I just think it's a form of Chinese. That's all. I don't know anything about it.
It's the main language based
Thanks, Jeff.
On
Appreciate
the Beijing
it.
Dialect
wow.
as so well known. So as for the Celtics, as I've listened to these fantastic calls this morning, listen, of all the sports in basketball, the culture of selflessness is a critical component for team success. And as long as Tatum and Brown continue to have a shot-first mentality rather than a make-the-right-play mentality, there are just serious limitations to winning and how far they can go. So, you know, that is what it is. But I had a couple other things, and no need to hang up on me. I'm not up to anything. But did you guys happen to see Hootie at Trevor Lawrence's draft party?
I did not.
Number one.
Really? Are you serious? I heard Beer and Sunshine on the radio the other day. Like, when we played here, we make fun of it because it sounds corny. But it was a nice day. It was Saturday afternoon. Put the sunroof on, and it came on. I'm like, this is a jam.
Seems like Fred and Rich were talking about it, about Hootie. Like, he was actually there? Hootie was actually at Trevor Lawrence's house or something?
I'd hire him, too. But maybe they're friends.
Darius Rucker was one of 60 friends and family members attending a draft party in Seneca for Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. How about that?
Party.
I wonder if he held his hand.
Bust out the acoustic and play Wagon Wheel.
I don't like Wagon Wheel.
The best, I'm looking at the screen grabs. He's just sort of off in the corner, like one in the crowd.
Like, hey, that guy looks like Hootie.
Hanging out at Trevor Lawrence's
That's
house.
Just like being like person number 43 of that 60-person crowd. Like, that looks like Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish. That can't be him. I don't see him.
I'm watching the videos now. He's in the kitchen, like over in the corner of the kitchen, just hanging out. Why was he there? He's a South Carolina fan.
Right. Gamecocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a big Dolphin fan.
I don't know how that ended up happening. Well, there he was. There he was. Let's get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.